to me. I don't know why he cared. I don't know why.
Turn your Bibles to Matthew chapter 9. Verse 9, as I wrap up and finish the message that I was preaching last night, Jesus is calling, Will You Follow? Part 5, the Just Jesus Evangelistic Campaign, day 651, since January the 20th, 2017, according to my oldest son. Day 1016, since January the 1st, 2016. The Bible reads in Matthew chapter 9, verse 9, and as Jesus passed forth from thence, he saw a man named Matthew. As I was reading this passage earlier today, I thought about how that we pass by people all of the time and we don't see a man, we don't see a woman. I know somebody who says all they see is people. I'm afraid that we are missing the trees for the forest. Jesus saw a man. Jesus saw individuals. How are you doing? Do you ever see a man that God is leading you to talk to, or witness to, or give a pamphlet, a gospel pamphlet to? Do you ever see a woman? Do you ever see a boy, a girl, an individual that God moves upon your heart to show compassion to? When was the last time you saw a man? We have many Christians who are concerned about the masses, but Jesus was concerned about a man. Has God put anybody on your heart for you to witness to? Because always remember, the next person you witness to could very well be the next D.L. Moody or the next Billy Graham or Billy Sunday. And they may win 10 million people to Christ and you only won one, but all of those others will go to your record and to your credit. So, and as Jesus passed forth from thence, he saw a man named Matthew sitting at the receipt of custom at the tax office. And some of you are getting ready to do your taxes. Some of you heard good news today that even though there's a shutdown of the government, taxes are going to be taken care of. Refunds are going to be taken care of. This is who you're dealing with. You're going to be dealing with the Matthews of today. Sitting at the receipt of custom, sitting at the tax office. And he saith unto him, Follow me, Jesus said. And he arose and followed him. And it came to pass, as Jesus sat at meat, at lunch, dinner, or what have you, in the house, behold, many publicans and sinners came and sat down with him and his disciples. And when the Pharisees saw it, they said unto his disciples, Why eateth your master with publicans and sinners? But when Jesus heard that he said unto them, they that be whole need not a physician, But they that are sick, Jesus took over because the disciples really didn't know how to deal with these devilish individuals. And so Jesus heard it and took over and just blew them away. But go ye and learn what that meaneth. I started to talk about this last night, and then the Lord led me to cut it short. I will have mercy and not sacrifice, for I am not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. And little did the Pharisees and the Sadducees know, they were sinners too. Holy Father God, we praise you and we thank you. And we say with Peter on the Mount of Transfiguration, Lord, it is good for us to be here. And we give you the glory, the praise, and the honor for allowing us to even have this in our heart and mind, and to be here and to continue to preach your glorious gospel in tumultuous times, for lost souls to be saved and Christians to be revived and to be reminded that we all ought to keep the main thing, and that is the Great Commission and the Great Commandment, and not get caught up in the affairs of this life. Have mercy and grace upon each and every one of us, since all of us are sinners, where we have sinned, Holy Father God, where we have failed. We are so glad that we can come to you, for you have a love for sinners that is out of this world. And I don't understand it. I don't understand the greatness of your grace. I just thank you for it. I don't understand the depth of your forgiveness, but I thank you for it. And all of us do, if we have any sense. And we all know instinctively that we can come to you when we have blown it, when we have messed up royally. Even if we can't go to man or to woman, we know that we can go to you. And if we get right with you, as your holy word states, Lord, you will work it out where we'll find favor in the sight even of our enemies. Lord, you're in control of all of that, and we give you the glory, praise, and honor for that. And so for Jesus Christ's sake, for those of us who are willing to admit that we have sinned and we have done wrong, Lord, for Jesus Christ's sake, forgive us. For the righteous, for the holier-than-thou individuals, Lord, you know what to do with them. And so, Holy Father God, we pray that you would rebuke and bind our enemy, the devil, and his demons and his host, who has been fighting us extremely hard over the past several days, days that have been so blessed by you, some of the best days we've had in the past 6 months or so. And the devil has done a zip bam boom against us, even though we have been so blessed, and so many wonderful things have happened since October the 1st, and they're coming to fruition now, and the devil is mad about it, but we're glad about it. At least I'm glad about it, and I thank you for what you have done. And we pray for over 3 million souls to be saved, 3 million Christians be revived, and your holy name glorified. In Jesus Christ's name we pray and forsake. Amen. You may be seated. Ladies and gentlemen, and Dr. Adam Clark said, nothing will humble hypocrites more than showing them that they understand neither Holy Scripture nor religion. That by relying on external performances, they neglect love to God and man, which is the very soul and substance of true religion. True holiness has always consisted in faith working by and through God's love in us, back to Him and towards others. Amen, somebody. End of quote. Ladies and gentlemen, when the Pharisees questioned Jesus' disciples about his habit of eating and drinking with sinners, Jesus confronted them with a paradigm that contrasted with the one they lived by. And by the way, eating with anybody was a big deal back in those days. It said a lot about you, where you came from, your status, or lack thereof. It was a serious, serious matter, for back in those days, they didn't have iPhones that keep individuals occupied with stupid stuff. I heard the other day there's a whole thousands of videos with kittens and cats doing tricks, and people just go crazy over it. Sit in the car driving down the road at 70 miles an hour trying to watch the next viral video of a cat jumping inside the toilet and all this kind of thing. They didn't have that back in those days. A world of entertainment right in the palm of your hand, or a laptop, or a cable, or a satellite. Move all the way to the back. Keep that in the same spot. Move all the way to the back. And so, eating with anybody was a big deal back in those days. And with some people, even to this day in the Middle East, if you didn't eat, if you don't eat what they have, same thing in with Africa, if you don't eat what they have, they see that as an insult. The Pharisees saw the law that was given to Moses as the be-all and end-all of biblical revelation. And make no mistake about it, contrary to Andy Stanley, the law still has great power. The Ten Commandments is very powerful and has not been abandoned by God. Andy, we love you, brother, but you need to stop drinking that Jack Daniels or whatever you're doing, because the law is for everybody. Jesus kept the law and died for our sins, was buried, and rose again. And by the way, there was nothing in the Ten Commandments that said that Jesus could not eat with sinners. And so, it's still very powerful. However, Jesus drew from one of the prophets they respected so much, they revered, to show them that even though God had given the law, he called his people to an even higher plane. That of, yes, respecting the law, but that of mercy and love and grace as well. Amen, somebody. Showing compassion for people who are struggling. Not the proud and the arrogant who are intentionally thumbing their nose in God's face and disrespecting God on purpose, or the proud religious people, but people who are really struggling in sin and they can't get out, and they cry out to Jesus and he delivers them. Those who are truly blind and deaf. The Pharisees appeared to readily comply with outward religious duties. Like so many Christian people today, I get so tickled at the Pharisees and the Sadducees in our churches. The preachers who condemn drinking wine, but yet they have a stash down in their office, down behind the filing cabinet. They have a stash of something stronger at the house that they don't even tell their wives. They're such hypocrites and phonies and fakes. But yet, in public, they condemn it. They condemn it to hell. And yet, they are the biggest drinkers in the church. Hypocrites, phonies, and fakes who look at pornography at home but get in the pulpit and preach hard against it and call men who are doing it all kinds of names, but they just got out of the porn booth in front of their computer at the house. And thanks be to God, some are being caught at the church. They're so addicted to this thing called pornography. However, Jesus knew something about the Pharisees and their ilk that they would have never admitted. And we have some, you hear me well, in the church today. They have great theological degrees. They know how to dissect the word. They look holy, but they're not holy on the inside. They are hypocrites, phonies, and fakes, setting a standard for the church that they don't even reach or try to reach. Deep down inside in their heart of hearts, the Pharisees and their comrades were just as sinful and just as wicked as the people sitting at Jesus' dinner table. And they knew it. And maybe some of the sinners at the dinner table knew it as well. God does not value outwardly righteous behavior if the heart behind it is unrighteous. Always remember, we learn in the Old Testament, Brother Andy, that God looks on the heart. Man looks on the outward appearance, but God looks on the heart. And excuse me, the outward appearance, my dear friends, does not mean a damn thing. So many people look good on the outside, and we have found out, haven't we? Looks can be deceiving. One man is in jail tonight, and it should be remembered that he's in jail tonight. Educated, distinguished, rich, wrote books with Harvard graduates about how sinful black people were and how foolish, how evil, how mean, how rebellious. But yet the whole while, for years, he was drugging women, knocking them out cold, and raping them. But he looked great on the outside. He looked great on the outside. In recent days, another man looked very distinguished. The man acts so well that you don't even know if, when you see him in real life and in normal circumstances, you don't know if he's acting like he was brought before the magistrates the other day, before the courts. And I didn't know if the man was Frank on the show he was on before they fired him, or the man they're accusing of raping and molesting a young man. But before that, he looked great. He looked distinguished, educated, smart, debonair. Looks can be deceiving. See, that's why God looks on the heart. He passes by the outward appearance and looks on the heart. We learned that in the Old Testament, Andy, and it stands true today. The Pharisees who found the gall to question Jesus never would have done what Jesus did in order to invite those who were willing to admit their sinfulness into the kingdom of God. As far as they were concerned, these were dogs, heathen, transgressors, lawbreakers. They never would have sat and dined with those who were sick. And every time I use the word dying, I think about that heavyset white preacher that helped me with a crusade. Built me a flyer. Sounded so white. I said, man, the folks may not come. I don't know. We might need to change that. He said, no, brother, this will work. The table is set. Come and dine. And he stuck with it. He said, I'm paying for it. I'm printing it. I'm going, that's what we're going to do. Be that as it may, I digress. Thus, Jesus rejects the self-righteous religious leaders who thought that their outward appearance, their outward behavior, justified in what they did outwardly, because everything they did, they loved to do it outwardly, standing on the street corners praying, peeking and seeing who is looking at them praying and being holy. It didn't justify them before God. And he embraces the sinners who knew they had no standing, if you will, in God's sight. None, zero. They were humble and seeking mercy, like you ought to be seeking and I ought to be seeking. I'm 40 years old in the Lord now. I've been preaching for nearly 40 years, but I still, not because I'm trying to be sanctimonious, I'm still asking for mercy and grace. Amen, somebody. Somewhat ironically, Jesus says, I am not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. And the church has it twisted today. We only want to call the righteous and the up and out. Folks who got it together. Husband, wife, 2.5 children, a Bima, a Mercedes, and a split level house in the right community. And these are our kind of people, they say. This is our target audience. That's what... That's what they say. Yeah, they do all the demographics. So you see, this community here will be able to support a pastor and his wife and children and the church and pay the bills and so forth and so on. It's disgusting, isn't it? Ironic, because the Pharisees were just as much sinners as the people they condemned. But they acted like they didn't know it, but they knew it deep down. But they love keeping up appearances like so many Christians today. Trying to fool people. That is what Jesus is still doing today, folks. Calling sinners to himself. Jesus is calling, will you follow? Calling sinners to believe on him and to repent. If you don't think you need to repent, you are not ready to receive what Jesus has to offer. There ought to be a conviction somewhere about, somewhere along the lines that you understand you're not perfect. and you have done evil and wrong in your sight, in God's sight, and you have guilt, you have compunction about it. Until you are convicted of your own sins, your own sinfulness, at least, your sinful nature, this wicked bent towards evil that makes you do things, that causes you to do things that you can't stop. You get all caught up in it because of your sinful nature. You love putting up appearances in front of your folks at the job, at the church, mom and them's church. Everybody thinks you are a good little girl. They don't know that you're in a escort program, service, along with your job, your front job, the escort business that you're in includes being a prostitute. Mom and them don't know that. The pastor doesn't know it until he sees you in one of the lineups, in a place where he's not supposed to be himself. And you make thousands of dollars a week doing that. And you make $400, $450 every 2 weeks doing the other little front job. You're just keeping up appearances. You're not the good little girl that you want everybody to think you are. You are a phony and you are a hypocrite. And you know it. And like the dear young lady who was caught up in the porn industry, she fell under conviction, trusted Christ as Savior. And I'm just going to give you her testimony, what she said. She went and did one more trick and left the porn industry. She was done. She repented. And let's be real now. Once you truly trust Christ as Savior, you may not move as fast as someone else, but you'll be moving in the right direction towards repentance and getting your heart and life right with God. Some changes will be happening in your life. You may not do it as fast as she did it, but you'll do it eventually if you're truly born again, if you truly trusted Christ as Savior. Because truly born again ones, truly saved ones, before they got saved, they were not convicted about anything. In fact, if they were convicted about anything, they were convicted about the fact that they were wrong for not sinning some more and doing some more evil stuff. But after they are born again, after they are saved, after they have trusted Christ as Savior, here's what's going to happen, dear friend. You're going to be convicted about not only the act of sin, but the thought of sin. Oh, yes, you will. Whereas you were a liar big time before, you might try to lie, but you're going to feel guilty, and you're going to find a place to bow your head and ask God to forgive you for that lie you told. That's how it works, dear friends. And so until you are convicted of your own sins and convinced of your own unworthiness before God with the help of the Holy Spirit of God and the Word of God, you will never be ready to truly trust Christ as Savior. This is how so many people get slipped a Mickey. And they truly don't get born again, and storms come and troubles come, and then there they go. That's another thing about a truly born again Christian. They're not going to live, they're not going to leave Jesus. If they try, they're going to come under conviction and come back eventually. They're not going to totally leave Jesus. You're just not going to do it. They will, by the grace of God, endure until the end if you're truly born again, if you're saved. So once you realize, my beloved, that you are indeed a sinner, you can hear and respond to Christ's call to repentance and salvation, because the Bible says God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. This word repentance is important. It's built into salvation. Once you trust Christ, you understand that you are repenting of your sins in your old life. Are you willing to turn from your old life and trust Christ with the Lord's help, by His grace, by the power of His Holy Spirit, and be saved tonight and turn your life over to Him? Charles Wesley wrote these words so long ago: sinners believe the gospel word. Jesus is come your souls to save. Jesus is come your common Lord. Pardon ye all through him may now be saved. Whoever will, this man receiveth sinners still. See where the lame, the halt, the blind, the deaf, the dumb, the sick, the poor flock to the friend of humankind, and freely all accept their cure. To whom did he his help deny? Whom in his days of flesh pass by? Did not his word the friends expel? The lepers cleanse and raise the dead? Did he not all their sickness heal and satisfy their every need? Did he reject his helpless clay or send them sorrowful away? Sinners, believe the gospel word. Jesus is come your souls to save. Jesus is come your common Lord. Pardon ye all through him may now be saved. Whoever will, this man, Jesus, receiveth sinners still. This man, Jesus, is still willing to sit with sinners and eat with them. In fact, the Bible talks about in the book of Revelation, the last book of the Bible, Jesus is knocking on the door. He's knocking on the door of your heart. Now, he could break the door down if he wanted to, just by thinking about it. He can walk through the door if he wanted to, but he's knocking on the door because, see, Jesus never makes anybody do anything. And I know this to be a fact. Jesus did not make me get saved. He led me in love to himself. I didn't know how he was doing it. I didn't know what he was doing. But now that I look back, I can see. And so if you want to be saved, this man, Jesus Christ, is still receiving sinners. And I would recommend that you run to him and trust him as your Savior today. And so, dear friend, if you are with us tonight and you do not know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, allow me to show you how you can place your faith and trust in him for salvation from sin, the power of sin, the pain of sin, and the punishment of sin in hell. First, accept the fact, dear friend, that you are a sinner and that you have broken God's laws. The Bible says in Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Secondly, accept the fact that there is a penalty for sin. The Bible says in Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death. The wages of sin is death. We die and go to the grave because of our sin. Look at your intricate, beautiful, wonderful body. You say, mine? Well, I'm talking about, you know, when you were in your in better shape. Why is that body dying? You know we're not supposed to die. We're dying because we messed up. We have sinned against God. We have broken His laws, His commandments. And so our bodies are going to a grave one day. Our soul will be given back to God, and it will be, if we don't trust in Christ as Savior in this life, the soul that does not trust Christ as Savior will go to hell. The soul that trusts Christ in this life will go to heaven. And it's not church religion. It is not getting baptized. It's not formality. It's not singing in the choir. It's not good works. It's by simple faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. To avoid hell, you must accept the fact that you are on the road to hell right now if you have never trusted Christ as Savior. Jesus Christ said in Matthew 10:28, and fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. I share that with you because so many people don't understand that they're headed towards hell. I'm thinking about the beautiful family. Wife was a doctor. Husband a realtor. Beautiful children. Perfect looking family. They were just riding down the road, coming from somewhere, having fun. And a drunk driver out of nowhere hit them head on. And the whole family is gone. That's how quickly you can die. That's one of the sad things about death. You don't know when it's going to come or how, but it will come. And if you're not prepared, if you're not born again, if you're not saved, you're going to hell. If you have never trusted Christ as Savior, you're going to hell. I have a friend. When somebody died tragically, he would always say, the only thing that matters is if they knew Christ as Savior. That's all that matters. Hell is a sad place. Hell is a bad place. Hell is bad news, but I have some good news for you tonight. You don't have to go to hell. You can go to heaven when you die. Now hear me out, because if you will listen to an insurance agent for an hour or two, you can hear me for 15 minutes. I'm talking about eternal life insurance, and it's free. You don't have to pay me every month. I don't get a commission for this. This is free. Jesus Christ said in John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, that is, that whosoever, that word whosoever means anybody, at any time, that includes you, even if you're on death row. Whosoever believeth in him should not perish, that is in hell, but have everlasting life. Just believe in your heart in the Lord Jesus Christ. For the Bible says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou you shall be saved. Believe in your heart that Jesus Christ suffered, bled, and died on the cross for your sins. He took away the sins of the world, including yours. You say, well, preacher, I murdered somebody. He took away that too. You say, preacher, I stabbed somebody. He took away that too. You shouldn't have done it, but you did it. He took that away too. Preacher, I raped somebody. It's bad. It's terrible. You shouldn't have never done it, but you did. And if you believe on Christ, it'll be taken away. I don't understand how he does it, but that's how powerful the blood of Jesus Christ is. We may be appalled, but God is still calling all to be saved. And all you have to do is put your faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. And believe in your heart that he died for your sins, was buried, and rose again. And here's God's guarantee. Romans 10:9-13 says that if you shall confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shall believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, you shalt be saved. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Saved from what? Saved from hell. And if you're willing to believe on Christ in your heart, I am willing to lead you in prayer right now. Please follow me in prayer. Repeat after me, phrase by phrase, and mean it from your heart. Holy Father God, I pray in the holy name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and I come before your throne, acknowledging that I am a sinner by choice and by nature. For Jesus Christ's sake, please forgive me of all of my sins. For I have lied many times before. I have lusted before. I have taken your holy name in vain. I've done many other evil things. Please have mercy upon me, a sinner. For Jesus Christ's sake, please forgive me of all of my sins, as I now believe with all of my heart in the Lord Jesus Christ, that he suffered and bled and died on the cross for my sins, taking away all of my sins, was buried and rose again on the third day. I know I don't deserve this salvation, and I know I deserve hell. For Jesus Christ's sake, please forgive me of all of my sins and fill me with your Holy Spirit and help me to repent of all of my sins. Help me to turn from my evil ways and to follow you, Lord Jesus, for the remainder of my life. In Jesus Christ's name I do pray, and for his sake, amen. Ladies and gentlemen, if you believed in your heart in the Lord Jesus Christ tonight, that he died on the cross for your sins, was buried and rose again, allow me to say congratulations on doing the most important thing in life, and that is trusting, receiving, accepting the free gift of the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. For more information to help you grow in your newfound faith in Christ, please go to GospelLightSociety.com and read my pamphlet titled, What to Do After You Enter Through the Door. Jesus Christ said in John 10:9, I am the door, by me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved and shall go in and out and find pasture. Dear friend, if you trusted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior today, please email me at dw3@gospellightsociety.com or one of our many other emails and receptacles all around the globe and over 1,000+ sites, and let us know. We have some free material that we want to send you. If you have a prayer request, please email that to us as well, and we will pray for you until you tell us to stop. Until next time, my beloved. And next time will be tomorrow, if the Lord tarries his coming, and if he allows us all to live. And if, as the old folks used to say, if the Lord says the same, it will be tomorrow, Wednesday of this week. Until then, God loves you. We love you. Jesus loves you. Most importantly, and may God bless you real good, is my prayer.